Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA News, I'm Tim Berg. The sentencing phase in the Tree of Life synagogue shooting trial is beginning in Pittsburgh on Monday. Robert Bowers was found guilty earlier this month on all 63 charges in the 2018 mass shooting at the Squirrel Hill Synagogue that killed 11 worshipers. In the first part of the sentencing phase, the jury will consider aggravating circumstances to determine if the defendant is eligible for the death penalty. The cleanup is continuing today after a tornado touched down just south of Indianapolis, Indiana, on Sunday. One man describes to Fox News the fear of looking for any possible damage to his home.
When you walk out, you see the houses around you, you see the damage, and you don't want to look up. You're scared to look up because you're thinking, oh no, what's happened to our house?
The sheriff in the county where the tornado touched down says damage covers a large area and that several neighborhoods and homes have been destroyed or damaged. The White House and President Biden say they're keeping an eye on the situation in Russia.
President Biden has spoken with Ukraine President Zelensky and Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau about the weekend's events in Russia. The White House said the leaders affirmed their unwavering support for Ukraine against Russian aggression. This comes after a short-lived rebellion by the Wagner Group, a private Russian military organization led by Yevgeny Prigozhin. The Kremlin reportedly reached an agreement with Wagner to drop the charges against Prigozhin in exchange for the group ending its insurrection.
USA News' Lance Pry reporting. Southwest Airlines has reached a tentative deal with the union representing mechanics and aircraft inspectors. The agreement announced Friday must be approved by some 2,800 workers. The airline is still negotiating deals with pilots and flight attendants. Monday night's Powerball jackpot is set for an estimated $440 million. This is USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
The number of people traveling over the long 4th of July weekend will break records. Correspondent Rory O'Neill has the story.
An estimated 50.7 million Americans will travel 50 miles or more for the Independence Day weekend, a number even higher than before the COVID pandemic. AAA says more people will be traveling by car now that gas is about $1.20 lower than it was a year ago. Air travel should be up 11% to 4.1 million. The fact that the holiday falls on a Tuesday, giving many a four-day weekend, is helping to spur the demand in travel.
Former President Donald Trump ended his weekend of campaigning in the Detroit area Sunday night. Speaking at the Oakland County GOP's annual Lincoln Day dinner, the former president said President Biden's trade policies are killing the nation.
We have record high trade deficits, also known, in my opinion, as losses. We lose a fortune to China, to Japan, to all these countries.
It's the former president's first visit to Michigan during the 2024 presidential campaign. NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman says teams will no longer wear specialty sweaters to promote causes such as the rainbow shirts that players have worn for LGBTQ pride nights. It's become a distraction, according to Bettman. Many players refuse to don the LGBTQ sweaters during the season. I'm Tim Berg, USA News.
How would you like to get high-speed internet for your home for less than $2 a day? That's right, for about $50 a month, you'll get lightning-fast internet. Are you paying less than $50 a month right now for your internet? Then call Whole Home Connect right now for blazing fast internet at $50 a month with no price increases, no hidden fees, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. It's a great deal. And guess what? You can try it for 15 days. If you don't like it, you get your money back. But you're gonna love it. And you're gonna love the price. Internet for your home for $50 a month. That's less than $2 a day. Plus, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees, and our 15-day guarantee. Call now. 800-699-0358. 800-699-0358. 800-699-0358. That's 800-699-0358.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Minutes after the top of the hour. Welcome back. I am Bill Martinez. He is George Barna. Yes, the one and only George Barna, who's the professor at Arizona Christian University, the president of the Cultural Research Center at ACU. And he's got his latest study to share with us, don't you?
I do indeed, where we're looking at some more changes that have happened in terms of faith since the pandemic started and ended. And it's not always a pretty picture, but it's important that we know what it is.
Well, you say evangelicals leading the way as core Christian beliefs and church attendance continue to free fall. And that's a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek headline, you told me.
Yeah, and that's partly because I don't make up the headlines when they put these things out. But,
right.
The reality is that if you look at it, we're losing ground. We've been losing ground for a lot of years in terms of Christianity in America. But now we're seeing that happen even with evangelicals. Previously, that had been one of the groups that pretty much held firm. I mean, there was some give and take. But now we're just seeing even that drop away.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's happening specifically, George?
Well, we can look at church attendance. And, you know, I mean, that's not the end all of all measures. But it's one indication of whether or not people are thinking about faith, whether or not they're seeking to engage in faith. And what we're finding there is that attendance has declined over the past 3 years. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because when you look at our culture, typically what I find is that the shifts that we see in our culture happen in 3 to 5 year periods of time, mm-hmm. years being a pretty typical period. And the major shifts tend to happen when you have a crisis, because
right.
beings, at least Americans, which is what I study, tend to change when there's pain or suffering involved. And the pandemic provided that for people. Either it was their own health, it was the health of others, it was their employment, it was their lifestyle. Everything was affected by that. And so for a lot of people, it was a crisis time, and they were making a lot of significant shifts. And so now when we look even at some of the foundational activities, whether it's church attendance, whether it's Bible reading, whether it's claiming that they're affiliated with a particular faith group, such as Christianity, or if it's in terms of specific beliefs, what we're finding is even with evangelicals, all of those things are changing. Yes, they experienced the crisis. Yes, most evangelical churches were closed for, you know, a couple of years. And that has made a lasting difference for a lot of these folks.
Yeah, it's amazing, George, the impact it had on those churches that rendered to Caesar the things that were God. And some of these churches got decimated, and they're not coming back.
No, and in fact, one of the things that disturbs me the most is the decline in Bible reading.
Yes.
You know, I mean, when we look at that dropping down to one out of three Americans actually picking up the Bible and reading it during the course of a week. A minority of evangelicals reading it during the week. The biggest declines among people under the age of 50, it almost didn't matter what age you were, if you were under 50, there was a significant decline among those, for instance, 30 to 49 years old, 14 percentage point drop in Bible reading. That's a huge drop in just 3 years. People with children in their homes, another really significant one to me, because that gives us an indication of the frame of mind of the parents. Why does that matter? Because it's kids under 13 who form their worldview. At the age of 13, a worldview is fully formed pretty much for the rest of your life. 12 percentage point drop among people, parents who had children under the age of 13 in their home. But you even saw it among groups like Pentecostals, a 12 percentage point decline there. Hispanics, 11 percentage point decline there. Conservatives, 9 percentage point decline. So a lot of the groups that we would have said, well, these are vitally important groups for the nation going forward, for the church going forward, and we're seeing that they're saying, nah, Bible, not for me.
Right. You know, just, again, on the topic of the Bible, I mean, you have Jesus himself, George, saying, it's not by food or water that I live, but by every word that emanates from the mouth of God. Right? Let's fast forward. Billy Graham, before his passing, he's asked by a reporter, you know, if he had it to do any different, what would he do? Do you remember his response?
I remember it was good. I don't remember the exact words.
I'd spend more time in the Bible. I'd have read the Bible more. This is Billy Graham. So, you know, the indications, the admonishments are there. And then here we see a culture in free fall, decline, and especially in this incredible month, the Pride Month that's taking place and all that's, you know, hedonistically on display, even on the White House lawn. So disgusting. I mean, you got to hide the kids. And the best place to hide them is behind the Bible. And in the Bible, I would think. Am I being too hysterical?
No. I think it's perfectly rational and reasonable and biblical. You know, you raise this whole issue of Pride Month. And for me, one of the things that I wish more Christian leaders would be asking the people that they influence is, what do you have pride in?
Exactly.
Because I think if we ask that question of Christians, you know, without putting it in a biblical context, just out of the blue, say, wow, this is really interesting, this whole Pride Month thing. What do you have pride in?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'd hear all kinds of answers, but I don't think we'd hear very many people saying, I have pride in the fact that Jesus Christ loves me. I have pride in the fact that God created me in his image. I have pride in the fact that he allows me to know him, to love him, to serve him. I have pride in the fact that I have the Bible. I have the freedom to read that and to follow it as closely as I can. These are the kinds of things that we ought to be discussing in the Christian community. It's like pride.
Exactly.
What a great idea. Why didn't we come up with that? And why isn't it Jesus' face that's on that flag flying over every house in America?
Amen. We've got more to be proud of, I would think. It's not even close. Although, you know, to your point, I don't know if you saw this, but it was the video was relegated, you know, to conservative circles, unfortunately. But that was the comments from the women's Oklahoma softball team. How they talked about the sisterhood, how they protected one another, watching each other's back, that it wasn't about, you know, life here and the here and now, that they're looking forward to eternity and being with Jesus and with, you know, with their fellow players. I'll tell you, George, it was just absolutely heart elevating to hear these young girls talk about their faith. It's no wonder their team is so successful beyond temporal measurement, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, that's the key thing. The key thing for them is not their won and loss record.
Right.
The key thing is their major win, and that's that they know Christ. When you've got that, you win. And then it's just a question of, now, how do I share that with others, and how do I show that to others? what that wind looks like in a heart that's been transformed.
Wow. It's incredible. George Barna is with us. We're going to break. We've got more from George right after this. Stay with us.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
It's all too obvious. We're being distracted by meaningless news headlines. When you dig to find the truth, you discover that the American way of life is being threatened by the institutions we used to trust. It's easy to see the future holds more food shortages, systematic controls, and government overreach. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are preparing. They're taking steps to be self-reliant and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy to get started and join the ranks with this limited-time offer. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and get their top-selling 4-week emergency food kit. Enjoy tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get new lower pricing this week on these 4-week emergency food kits. Secure at least one food kit for each member of your family. They ship free, too. Those who know what's coming are preparing. Smart folks, go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Has your heater or air conditioner busted? Appliance broken? Computer crashed? Then you need an ARW home warranty. Home system and appliance repairs and replacements can cause stress and cost you thousands of dollars per year. With an A-plus BBB rating and a top-rated home warranty company on Consumer Affairs and Trustpilot, ARW Home provides superior service featuring the industry's lowest service call fee. ARW Home has warranty plans that cover your kitchen and laundry appliances, heating and air conditioning systems, electrical and plumbing systems, and much more. Call 800-559-7562 to customize your plan. Plus, ARW has partnered with Azurian to protect your new and used tablets, laptops, TVs, and other home tech from accidental damage and wear and tear. All plans come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Call 800-559-7562. That's 800-559-7562.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Do you use pesticides in your job? Specifically Roundup. Roundup, made by Monsanto, contains a chemical called glyphosate, which has been linked to cancer. If you've used Roundup and you have cancer, you may be entitled to a cash award. Over $10 billion has been set aside to pay users of Roundup who've been diagnosed with cancer. Time is almost running out to file your claim. So if you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've used Roundup, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And time to file is almost gone, so please call right now.
800-890-7088. 800-890-7088. 800-890-7088. That's 800-890-7088.
Bill Martinez here. We're talking with George Barna and his latest study. George, I want to get back to it, but before we do, what's hit the news recently is the Southern Baptist Council. And they're taking a stand of having, you know, female pastors. And they have basically said that Saddleback Church is not going to be part of the SBC because of their support of female pastors. What do you make of this development?
What's the problem? surprises me is how few Christians give a rip. You know, what we're finding is that when you have these kinds of theological rifts inside denominations, usually they're raising very important theological questions. I mean, recently you have a similar type of thing taking place, different issue, but similar type of rift taking place within the United Methodist Church, where now you've got more than 5,000 UMC churches that have left the mothership, and they're creating their own aggregation of churches who want to be true to the Bible's teaching related to homosexuality. And once again, it's one of those things where not many Christians seem to be paying attention. Not many Christians seem to care that much. You know, saying instead, well, yeah, you know, that's church politics. They're playing games. No, no. These are people who care about their faith, who have been trained spiritually, who have differences of opinion based on different perspectives that they have, and they're raising important issues, and each of us ought to have an opinion, excuse me, not an opinion, a belief related to that based on what the Bible teaches. That's why I had to correct myself from saying opinion, is because so much of what comes out of here is, well, my opinion, what's your opinion based on? Usually how you feel. Doesn't matter how you feel. What matters is what God says. You know, you can have feelings about that, but what he says is still the truth. And so when you come to a decision on it, let's go with what God says rather than what you're feeling today.
Yeah, why not? I mean, because here's the situation, as we often say, and this is, you know, what I say to the kids all the time, is in the absence of fact or the truth, opinion rules. So, you know, you can exercise yourself to death over opinion, and you're really not affecting anything that's truly rational and sustainable, because what opinion you may hold today, maybe sometimes it can be measured in minutes. It won't be the same with new evidence of information. This is why pursuing the truth is so important, George, in my humble opinion.
Well, and that's why, you know, one of the things in our current survey that troubles me so much is when we look at evangelicals, remember the way that that gets defined typically is that these are individuals or churches or pastors who believe that the Bible is God's truth, that we're supposed to pay attention to it and live in harmony with it. And yet what this current study shows, where we look at changes over the last 3 years, the pandemic years, is that most evangelical individuals, people who attend evangelical churches, now say that, you know, determining moral truth is up to each individual. There are no moral absolutes. And so at the same time that a small majority of them would say, well, yeah, I believe that the Bible is God's true word, you flip that over, and what they say is, but it doesn't have absolute moral truth. You have to be doing what makes you feel right and comfortable, what you feel is the truth. And if it corresponds with the Bible, Hosanna. But if it doesn't, well, we're going to go with my interpretation of what's happening in the culture today, because that's most current, that's most relevant to me. And, you know, if the Bible doesn't agree, well, it's probably just that day.
Yeah, this is incredible. I mean, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to emphasize. I mean, that's evangelical saying that. I understand mainline church attenders saying that, because they don't believe that the Bible is truth. They don't believe that the Bible is God's relevant, reliable word. They don't, you know, there's a lot that they don't believe that historical Christianity, traditional Christianity, believes in. But evangelicals, they've been kind of the last stand, the last fortress of believing the traditional beliefs that have come from Scripture that the Christian Church has taught in its creeds and in all of its activities over the course of time. Now we're seeing that shift too. And that probably, as much as anything to me, indicates that America really is in big trouble.
Yeah, and the thing is look at the difference in you know, what you lay out here, George. You know, evangelicals at 31%, all adults 25%. Look at the zip code. What happened to being light unto darkness?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's so much darkness coming in. You know, you look at some of the other things the survey's showing. only 41% of evangelicals contend that human life is sacred.
Yes.
Now think about the implications of that, given what's going on in our culture.
Right.
Given, you know, all the debate about divorce, abortion. Given what's happening in terms of marriage and divorce. Given what's happening in terms of personal identity choices. Given what's happening in terms of discussions about tolerance and respect and dignity, the whole DEI movement. I mean, there's so many things that are wrapped up in whether or not you believe that God made us and that we're made in His image and that that life is sacred. And when you've got the people who have been for years the ones most closely and ardently protecting God's word, when you have 6 out of 10 of them refusing to say that human life is sacred, again, this is where our culture's going. Who's going to stand up for God's way?
Yeah, and there you are, people going to church, George. I think you and I talked about this number before. At least a third of the people that go to church on, let's just say on Sunday, have experienced an abortion. And here it is. You kind of have this silent cry. We've got things that have been moving, you know, with the Dobbs reversal, the Dobbs decision, these sort of things. And you would think that this number would start to, you know, start to change. But for some reason, people of faith and evangelicals across the board are hesitant to, you know, come to God. We just have not had that Nineveh moment where the realization of our sin and our disobedience to God has hit us so definitively that it causes us to, you know, throw ourselves in front of a holy God, you know, pray for forgiveness. We're still waiting, I guess, at en masse for that revival, that confrontational moment with the reality of God and the reality that we have greatly sinned.
Well, and I would say that this data represents a wake-up moment for the pro-life movement,
yes,
which over the last couple of years has been patting itself on the back, saying, oh, everything's going our way now. We got it made.
Mm.
We don't. We're losing people like crazy. Yes, there are millions of pro-life individuals who are fervently involved in that campaign. But when we look at the big picture, we've got to recognize Americans believe in personal choice above all else, personal choice of everything. When you've got a large share of Americans, the largest share, saying life is not sacred and I need to be in control of my own life, there is no truth, I am my own truth, I'll determine what's right and wrong for me. Nobody can tell me otherwise. That should be a wake-up call to the pro-life movement, recognizing, look, even if we win a Supreme Court decision or two, that doesn't mean that we're on solid footing in America.
Exactly.
Change like this, as they change the Supreme Court. Now there's a new bill before Congress, again, to pack the court with liberals. So we've got to be awake and aware of what's going on.
Well, the good news in terms of the harvest is there when you've only got 35%, George, that believe that after death you'll go to heaven only because you confessed your sins, accepted Jesus as Savior. I think the fields are ripe for opportunity for evangelicals who believe in the inerrant Word of God to bring more people into the fold, right?
Absolutely. The fields are ripe. The question is, do we have workers for the fields? That was the question that Jesus asked, and I think it's still a relevant question today. There's plentiful opportunities, but we've got to have people who prioritize that.
George, I cannot thank you enough. Happy Father's Day to you, by the way. And thank you for sharing this important information. Dr. George Barna, the professor at Arizona Christian University and the president of the Cultural Research Center at ACU. Thank you, George. God bless.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. Ouch! Well, by wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers. If you administer insulin 3 or more times per day, or use an insulin pump, call now and learn how a CGM can help you.
Painless. No more pricking my finger.
No finger pricks.
Convenience. They delivered it free, and they took care of all the paperwork.
You can reduce pain right away. Plus, it's accurate, easy to use, and helps you spend more time in range. And if you have insurance, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Call now and get free shipping of your new CGM. Plus, we'll bill your insurance for you. 800-823-9853. 800-823-9853. 800-823-9853. That's 800-823-9853.
USA News Update. The sentencing phase in the Tree of Life synagogue shooting trial is beginning in Pittsburgh on Monday. Robert Bowers was found guilty earlier this month on all 63 charges in the 2018 mass shooting at the Squirrel Hill Synagogue that killed 11 worshipers. In the first part of the sentencing phase, the jury will consider aggravating circumstances to determine if the defendant is eligible for the death penalty. The cleanup is continuing today after a tornado touched down just south of Indianapolis, Indiana, on Sunday. One man describes to Fox News the fear of looking for any possible damage to his home.
When you walk out, you see the houses around you, you see the damage, and you don't want to look up. You're scared to look up because you're thinking, oh no, what's happened to our house?
A sheriff in the area adding that several neighborhoods and homes have been damaged or destroyed. Tim Berg, USA News.
I need to pay my taxes. What are my payment options?
The IRS has several options for paying your taxes. You can pay with IRS Direct Pay, a debit or credit card, or with an electronic funds withdrawal when you e-file your return. If you can't pay the full amount, consider paying over time with an online payment agreement or our Offer in Compromise program. Both tools are available on IRS.gov. Go to IRS.gov/payment to find an option that is best suited for you.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be just like Cal Ripken. It's definitely humbling to know that now people are calling me a hero. Instead of finding the IED with my metal detector, the IED found me first, and that resulted in double above-knee amputations. It's hard to describe the feeling of meeting somebody that you've always wanted to be like. There are people now that are looking up to you for their inspiration and to be their role model.
Visit saluteheroes.org to learn more.
Back with you 20 minutes before the top of the hour. We're on standby for Craig Nelson, a New York Times bestselling author of Pearl Harbor and the First Heroes. It's been a couple of years since we've had a conversation with him, but he just released his new book, V is for Victory, Franklin Roosevelt's American Revolution and the Triumph of World War II. In this epic and definitive history of the American home front during World War II, this New York Times bestselling historian reveals how FDR won the support of a nation antagonistic to war in Europe and pushed government and industry to build the miraculous arsenal of democracy, the secret weapon, as they say, that won the war, this arsenal of democracy. I mean, you know, you think about it during that period of time when you read history, something that's is unfortunately very rare in today's culture and in the classrooms and academia. In 1938, the prime ministers of Britain and France forced Czechoslovakia to cede land to the Third Reich. This is this idea of appeasement, right? When evil raises its head, you don't know what to do, so then you appease it. You think by somehow, if you give evil what it wants, that it will be satisfied and go away, but not the case as we know historically. The Nazi thugs attacked Jewish homes and businesses during Kristallnacht. Charles Lindbergh was so forceful in his public praise of Nazi air power, the Luftwaffe. Commander Hermann Göring decorated him with the Service Cross of the German Eagle. And the United States was so politically isolationist and pacifistic that its defense forces were smaller than Portugal's. I don't know if you realize, but this was what was going on in America at the time. We were so vulnerable. No wonder we wanted to stay out of it. We didn't have the wherewithal. And on top of that, keep in mind, we came out of World War I, right? And that was it. We had our fill with war. And thinking that really there was still a cleanup
left over from World War I that we had to be drawn into World War II. So it was going to take an incredible amount of leadership from FDR to convince the American people that we needed to get behind this to save Western civilization as we knew it, and to hold back the fascist and Nazi movement that was overwhelming Europe at the time. And so, of course, we know from history, you know, what happened going forward. And so as we wait for, this connection, with Craig Nelson, and maybe there's been some other change in plan here, disappointingly, because, we were hoping that he would be here by now. So we may have to do what they say in the business is punt. So we shall punt from here and, maybe reschedule Craig for another time where we can have the dutiful amount of time in order to give fairness to his book, V is for Victory. You know, as we were talking with a friend of mine here earlier about what happened, I'm going to transition to, talk about the Hunter Biden decision and what we've been forced to accept, and that is that... you say routinely we have a two-tiered system of government, of justice, and maybe it's multi-tiered in some regards. I mean, after what happened with the conviction of Hunter Biden and what was doled out, I feel for those who are in jail, 3 to 7 years, some even more, for doing things similar or maybe even of less offense, and having to endure... the heavy hand of justice, from the left, but clearly there is prejudice and it's obvious. And the one thing that most American people will agree on, regardless of political preference, is that we want things to be fair and just. And when things aren't fair, then we get cranky. And this is what's happening in our world today. Now, I'm told that we've just got connected with Craig Nelson, and he joins us now. So let's bring Craig on now, and we'll pick up the other topics later. Craig, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Thank you for having me, Bill. It's a pleasure.
Well, it's been a couple of years, since we've last talked, so I was looking forward to it when I received your copy of V is for Victory. The timing of your book in light of 4th of July, or 247th birthday, just around the corner, it really helps, kind of congeal and raise the level of patriotism, I hope, for our country because of what you've written here in terms of V is for Victory.
Thank you so much. And, the fact that it's really about a moment when we rose from our darkest moment in our history, when the nation was plagued by a near civil war of political arguing and depression and hopelessness and despair, and we rose out of that to defeat the greatest evil in human history. It's sort of thematically aligned with your show, I think.
Yeah, without a doubt, because and these things had to happen, Craig, as you say. And I was, reminding the audience of where we were. We come out of World War One. We've got the Roaring Twenties going on. We've got a lot of upheaval politically happening, just as you pointed. And meanwhile, we've got a war overseas, and our allies, our future allies, even screaming for help. Right.
I think that people have trouble remembering how really terrible the Depression was because, the Great Depression followed the Spanish flu, which killed tens of millions of people around the world, which followed World War One, which left no one happy. Americans were very bitter about how World War One turned out. But when we think of the Depression today, we think of those nice black and white pictures of men in their snazzy Hamburgs lighting up for bread. Instead of how gruesome it was, the stock market had fallen 85%. There was 25% unemployment. Most of the people who were employed had part-time jobs. People were really starving to death. And probably the story that really sticks with me about that time is a young girl is in school and she starts crying and crying. And the teacher says, "What's wrong, honey?" And the girl says, "I'm so hungry. I can't think about anything else. I can't even be educated. I just can't stay here." And she goes, and the teacher says, "It's okay, honey. You can go home and have something to eat." And the little girl says, "I can't. It's my sister's turn to eat."
Can you imagine? I mean, and all that part of history, Craig, has just been, you know, we want to forget how bad it was. And understandably, you know, but you have to, when you're talking, you know, about your book, you have to put this all into context and where the mindset of the American people was during this period of time. And it all played into the hands of the Third Reich, didn't it?
Absolutely. When Americans first started hearing that there was new trouble in Europe, 20 years after they just finished the last round of trouble in Europe, it drove them crazy. They just wanted to turn off the radio and walk away.
Well, and there is understandably a desire for self-interest, as you say. We have people here, you know, starving. You know, all that they've gone through, you know, and it's amazing when you think of post World War I and what happened in the lead up to World War II. Wow. I mean, you know, like I said, you know, from the Roaring Twenties, the crash of the stock market, the depression, what a whirlwind of events that America endured during this period of time. And it's no wonder that it took a lot of convincing and some extraordinary leadership by FDR in order to get America to engage, right?
Yes, we were at a point where people were so convinced that the Pacific and Atlantic Oceans could protect us from any foreign threat that we had cut our military to the bone. Our military, which many people cannot believe, was 14th in size in the world. We were smaller than Portugal, but bigger than Bulgaria. And we had 300 planes in our Air Force that were operable. And we had 135,000 men in uniform. So the whole idea that we could defeat Hitler or even defend the continental United States was out of the question at that moment.
Yeah, without a doubt. But then, you know, as urgency would come to rise and an increasing need to defend the homeland, then the American people came together in ways that we still talk about and still honor. We've got to go to break. We've got more from Craig Nelson on the other side. Stay with us.
Would you like to hear better for as little as 10 cents a day? Now you can with the all-new Audion hearing aids. The average hearing aid lasts about 3 years. Ours, at only $99 a pair, means you're paying as little as 10 cents a day to hear better. And to make things even better, we'll give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Skip the doctor and get hearing aids delivered straight to your door. We've eliminated all the middlemen to offer you a factory direct price of only $99 a pair. Join over 300,000 people just like you who took advantage of our 45-day trial offer. Now you can hear better too for just 10 cents a day. Call now and order your $99 pair of Audion hearing aids with a 45-day money-back guarantee. Plus, get free 3 to 5 day shipping.
800-577-5319. 800-577-5319. 800-577-5319. That's 800-577-5319.
Home sales are down 31% across America, and mortgage rates are on the rise. If your home is not selling, you need to call our experts right now at the Quick Cash Hotline. We have investors ready to pay you cash for your property, regardless of the condition it's in. Most of our closings can happen in about 7 days. You don't have to worry about a buyer getting approved. You don't have to worry about showing your home. One simple call right now. Just pick up the phone and call us. I'll give you the number in a
second. We will negotiate with you a price to buy your home. It's that simple. If you're ready to sell your home right now, any home, any condition, and you don't want to put money into it, no problem. We'll buy it from you. Call right now. It's a free call.
800-217-6459. 800-217-6459. 800-217-6459. That's 800-217-6459.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Fred Dreyer here for the product I use and love, Balance7.com. Are you suffering with heartburn? Get relief from Balance 7. You know, most people are able to go back to eating the foods they enjoy with Balance 7. Please, don't be stubborn. This really works. You're just a sip away from enjoying the foods you like. Try Balance 7 with a money-back guarantee. Are you experiencing fatigue and brain fog? So many people complain that in the afternoon, their energy seems to disappear and the brain becomes foggy. Balance 7 neutralizes the acids in your body. This aids your digestion. The energy from food is more effective, and afternoon brain fog fades away. Balance 7 is the answer. Go to Balance7.com or call 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039. Mention the code word FRED and get $10 off your order. Call 800-793-9039 and mention the code word FRED. Get heartburn relief and more with my favorite, Balance7.com.
You know, we say necessity is the mother of invention. I think you could also say equally desperation. And when you have desperation involved, a lot more passion and a lot more sense of urgency to solve a problem. We're talking with the best-selling author Craig Nelson, the historian. His latest book, V is for Victory, Franklin Roosevelt's American Revolution and the Triumph of World War II. Craig, as we were saying, here America is so so anemic in terms of its military defense. We thought that we were going to be protected by the Atlantic and the Pacific Oceans until we realized we could not be. And it was a wonder that we didn't find ourselves in a situation where it was too late to respond. But this is where, as you write about, the arsenal of democracy gives rise, and you have this miracle of American industry that takes place. Explain to our audience what was going on then.
So what happened is that one of the things this book points out is how people get lied to. And one of the things that really awakened FDR was that he could read German, and he read Hitler's Mein Kampf, his autobiography, Mein Struggle, in the original German, and saw that much of it had been taken out in the English translation. So as early as 1938, 3 years before Pearl Harbor, he came up with the idea of dramatically expanding American warplane production, where he would sell to the English and the French, as well as boost our own defenses. And he sold this to the American people and to Congress by saying, we're all going to make money. So he was able to use the economic force of reducing unemployment. And this becomes the arsenal of democracy, the union of American corporate manufacturing power with Washington bureaucrats and labor to produce the decisive issue that will lead us to victory.
You know, it reminds me, to hear this story reminds me of Thomas Jefferson when we had the battle with the Barbary pirates, right? When he finally realized the truth and the background and the ambitions of the Barbary Pirates, that's when he made the declaration to send in the Marines, right?
Absolutely.
So I find it quite interesting. Go ahead.
And similarly, Roosevelt had to have an awakening to realize how serious Hitler was in order to get the nation going long enough before Pearl Harbor so that by the time we were actually in the war, we were ready to fight.
Yeah, exactly. So break this down a little bit more in terms of this idea, this vision of American industry that Roosevelt had to paint out there, because he had to cast a vision that American industry and the American people would embrace. And he knew that it was going to be in stages. It was going to be a process. It wasn't like all of a sudden he was going to get 100% agreement or even 50% agreement. But he had to move enough of the industry in order to begin to build this infrastructure, right?
Yes, there are actually two steps to this. The first step happened from 38 to 40, when no one in America wanted to do anything to help the English or French survive Hitler at all. And Roosevelt had to figure out how to get this done. And he did it by having a public debate with Charles Lindbergh, who was a big pro-Hitler anti-Semite, as it turns out. They would alternate having these lectures on the radio on various points. And the American citizen could follow along on the radio and help decide through public polling what direction we should take in foreign policy. And this is how Roosevelt outlined everything that could happen and got things moving before the fall of France and Pearl Harbor, which of course inspired everyone to get in the war.
See, this is the beauty of free speech and public debate like this. Could you imagine today if there would have been that dynamic? Lindbergh would have been canceled and we would never have heard from him. There would have never been that debate to convince people that we needed to take a particular course of action, right?
Absolutely. And you can see it in detail how they are talking to each other and arguing with each other instead of speaking over each other to their own bases. So there's that too.
Yeah, exactly. And Lindbergh, obviously, he was enamored by the industry of, of the Third Reich. And, of course, he was driven by, aircraft and what was happening in aviation. The Germans clearly had won his heart. So his perception was really influenced by his appreciation of the German industry when it came to aviation, right? I see this clearly, that I think this is what influenced his position.
Well, what really happened, and that I thought was really profound, is that after his baby was kidnapped and murdered, he blamed American society for that, and he exiled himself in Europe, and there he got tours of the Luftwaffe, where they fooled him. They connived him into thinking they were much more powerful and advanced than they really were. So he started telling the world that the Germans were undefeatable and unbeatable and just forget about it, you can never win. And that's what led to the Munich appeasement, where the French and the British gave away pieces of Czechoslovakia to keep more fighting from happening, which is just like when we gave Crimea to Putin. So,
right, exactly.
Believe appeasement does not work.
and that's the thing, Craig, this is so obvious that it doesn't work, but yet, politicians continue to use that in their weaponry to negotiate. It's like, wait a minute, you need to throw that away. It doesn't work. I'm sorry, did we lose you?
Just for 2 seconds, you said there's a word.
Yeah, no, I was just saying that it does, appeasement does not work, and that idea needs to be put in the ash heap of history and not brought up again, because, right, it's like we don't learn, from history because we choose not to. For whatever reason, we keep trying to reinvent the wheel.
And it's really amazing doing this book, because there are so many echoes between the V is for Victory book period of time and our own period of time that line up perfectly. For example, in the 30s and 40s, Detroit was just like Silicon Valley is today.
Yes.
They were thought of as the state of the art in production and technology, and the leaders of essentially what were Amazon and Apple of their time, General Motors and Sears Roebuck, come to Washington and run the arsenal of democracy. And you can see that perhaps happening again to do things like fix the country's infrastructure and fix the Rust Belt.
Yeah. If in fact, you know, if in fact they're allowed to do it, you know, the arsenal of democracy, there's a lot more cooperation between industry and the government then as opposed to now. Now it seems like government has gotten so big that it wants credit for everything. And I guess they, you know, it's always somebody wants what they don't want. I mean, government doesn't create anything. It just takes the people's money. And, you know, and maybe that's frustrating for government. And somehow they want some credit and they get outside of their lane. And every time I find the government gets outside of their lane, it's we, the people, who suffer for it, Craig. I know that may sound a little, you know, I don't know, too skeptical, I guess. But that's just from my observation.
Well, I don't know how the roads and the sewage and the plumbing and the other stuff in where you live is, but in the East, we really need a couple of things fixed before highways collapse and all this stuff. So I'm hoping this big infrastructure bill that was passed a couple of years ago with broad bipartisan support might be able to fix some of those things and might draw in people like Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos into helping fix our biggest problems instead of just playing with rockets.
Well, without a doubt. I mean, look what happened in I-95. You're in the East there. You know, this is going to take months for, you know, the repairs. And, the bill was passed to promote infrastructure. But it's like, okay, what's going on? Where is the sense of urgency? And, you know, do we need more, you know, more bridges to collapse before they finally decide, okay, this needs to be the focus?
You're absolutely right about that. One thing that's really missing in our own time from this era is that FDR didn't just fix problems with people in their pocketbooks. He inspired and uplifted them and made them realize they were on a huge campaign involved in something bigger than themselves. And that's what we need from our own politicians today.
And it's what made the greatest generation, don't you think, Craig? Because they were, you know, they were given opportunity. And I think that's one of the driving forces of all of humanity is we want to be productive. We need to be productive and feel like we're making a difference, right?
Yes, I think the greatest generation revolution was to stop thinking of themselves as Texans or New Yorkers and start thinking of themselves as Americans.
Amen.
Put aside their petty issues and join together to do this great, great project that they did.
Well, and this is what we've been saying on the show for a long time, Craig, and it's not about partisanship. Partisanship is what has us at each other's throats these days. We need to come together. Maybe this is the birthday present of our 247th birthday year, is that we give each other the presence of acceptance and unity behind this great American idea, something that we can all agree on and not fight over.
I couldn't agree more. And one of the things that was exciting to research for this book was how people were even more at each other's throats than they are now. So
right.
If they could do it then, we could do it too.
Well, and I guess maybe that summarizes the big takeaway of your book, Craig Nelson. We've got 50 seconds left. I'm going to let you wrap it up.
Well, I really hope people would take a look at this history, whether in my book, Leaders for Victory, or in some other way, about the 1930s and 1940s, and realize that if Americans put aside their differences, they can accomplish anything, and this story proves it.
Amen. He's a New York Times bestselling author of Pearl Harbor and the First Heroes. Craig Nelson has been our guest. His new book, V is for Victory, Franklin Roosevelt's American Revolution and the Triumph of World War II. 5 years in the making, huh, Craig? There's a lot of research and history here. Great job.
It was agony. Thank you.
I appreciate it. The book will be linked on our website at BillMartinezShow.com. Craig Nelson, thank you. Appreciate it. Take care.
I'm so honored. Thank you, Bill.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
The final phase of...